In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There is a journey, my brothers and sisters, that everyone who belongs to God has to make. It is the pilgrimage from the head into the heart, from pride to humility, from full to empty. And I say that knowing that some people, even amongst you, will never make that journey. Some just don't. The Pharisee in today's gospel stands in need of precisely this journey. He's praying, he says, I thank you, God, that I'm not like all of these adulterers, right? All of these unjust thieves. I always point at the choir. You guys get the brunt of the sermon. Not like all of these people here, and especially I'm not like this tax collector. Ooh. Essentially, the Pharisee says, I thank you, God, that I'm so special before you, so much more special than everybody else around me. Right? Oh, look at me. I'm standing up high in a pulpit. I must be more special, right? Wrong. I'm not like all of these other sinners, arrogant and prideful. And he is prideful, right? He is full of himself. And because of it, guess what? He is blind. He cannot see himself for who he actually is. For what he actually is. And he couldn't see that the content of his heart actually needed to be exactly like those choir members. Exactly like that tax collector who said what? God, be merciful to me. Why? Because I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Well, why is he like that? Why is that Pharisee like this? Well, because it is all too easy to fall into the trap of self-righteous indignation, of thinking that I am just so confident in my own goodness, right? That I am good in and of myself. We like to think that. We like to think that because I do all of these things that I do, right? We were talking about this in Sunday school. If I do X, Y, and Z, well, that must mean what? That I'm holy, that I'm good, and that I'm righteous, and that what? Everybody else is not. And look at me, I'm so special. I'm the bright, shining star on this earth. It's all too easy to think in that sort of self-righteous indignation sort of way. But it happened rather effortlessly for this Pharisee, didn't it? At least seemingly it appears like it. Because he really was a good man according to his religion, wasn't he? He was. He fasted twice a week. Well, how often was he required to fast according to his religion? Once a year. So twice a week's doing pretty good, right? Right? He gave a tenth of all of his income, right? Not just the first fruits of his grain, not just the firstborn of his flock, which was required at the time, right? At this point in Israel's, I don't know if you knew this or not, but the tithe throughout Israel's history wasn't the same all the time, right? It changed throughout the ages. And at this point in history, the tithe was the first 10% of his flock and the first 10% of his grain. This man gives a tenth of everything that comes to him, everything. So he's doing pretty good. In a lot of ways, this man appears to be a good man. But at the end of the day, Jesus says that the tax collector and not him goes home justified, goes home righteous. Well, he goes home in disgrace. He goes home damned, essentially, is what Jesus is saying. Why? Well, because he thought too much of himself. His head was not joined to his heart, which is so crucial in the life of Christ. Notice his prayer. He says, I thank you, God, that I am not adulterous. I thank you, God, that I'm not thieving or unjust. And I especially thank you that I'm not like that guy over there. You notice anything about that prayer? It's all a prayer of thanksgiving. It's all a prayer of thanksgiving. Right? Not one petition of this prayer did he ask God for anything. Why? Because he doesn't think that he needs anything from God. Right? He thinks he's doing fine. He thinks he's well and whole. He didn't think that he was a sinner because his confidence rested in his own piety and not in God. Now, what does this look like today? Right, what does this look like in your life? Well, I'm basically a good person, right? I'm not that bad. You know, I round up at the grocery store when the teller asks me to, right? Right, I do all that. Right, I don't like whipping my dog. I smile at people when they smile at me, of course, first. I go to church sometimes. Sometimes. I'm pretty good, right? When it comes to sin and grace, every single one of us are on the same playing field. Every one of us. It is a completely level playing field. We are all sinners and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. That is what the scripture tells us. Every one of us has failed. The difference is that some of us know it. Some of us know what we are. And some of us do not. Some know and don't care even. Right, we're shown in sharp contrast to the Pharisee who? A tax collector. Who here loves tax collectors? Not one hand has gone up. Right, this man who made money, by the way, by extorting his brothers and sisters in Israel. Right, that's what a tax collector did. Wasn't really like what we have in the IRS today. They would actually go around knocking on doors and extorting money from people as much as they could. Right, there was no sort of like flat tax rate that everyone had to go by. It was based on what this strong-arm tax collector could extort from each individual. He did this to his brothers and sisters, too. Not a very well-liked person in ancient Israel. This man stands off at a distance, we're told, right? Stands at a distance from the temple, not even presuming to lift his eyes up to heaven, we're told. Instead, what does he do? He strikes his chest and he cries out to God for mercy. Hear my cry, O Lord, for I am a sinner. God, be merciful to me because I am a sinner. I need that mercy. I need something from you, Lord. Give it to me. What's truly amazing about this story is that while the Pharisee did every sort of external thing right. You know, I'm sure all of his friends looked at him and thought he was just the most pious, best person that they'd ever met, they'd ever seen. Right? While he may have done everything right, it is the tax collector who, by his confession, the confession of his sinful condition, the confession that he needs something from God, goes home righteous before the Lord. How will you go home today? How will you go home today? In our lives, there must be that same progression from pride, which every one of us has, from pride to humility, a movement from standing shoulder to shoulder with the Pharisee to getting down on our knees in humility with a tax collector. Right? God save us from churches that don't have kneelers. Right? I served at one for years. Get down on your knees before God and tell him that you need him. Tell him that you love him. Tell him you need to be forgiven. Because that is the character of faith. And I say this because each of us here embodies both of these men. Right? We have both the tax collector and the Pharisee living in our hearts. Each of us, therefore, is called by Jesus today to make that journey from pride to humility. And some of us have farther to travel than others. Slowly move away from the mentality of the Pharisee and to move toward God. The problem with Pharisees is what? They are aggressively proud. They simply can't admit when they are wrong. They can't bring themselves to hold out empty hands to God. They insist on offering all that they have. They insist on offering virtues and good works and self-denials, anything in order to not come before God empty-handed. Right, that's exactly what we were talking about this past Wednesday and a little bit in Sunday school this morning. Right, this sort of understanding where, you know, if I do this, God, right, if I give you this, if I do that, then you have to do this and this. Right? That's exactly ancient paganism. Right? That is exactly the sort of barter system with God that he will not have. God will not ever be handled by you or by me or anyone else. That is not the way God operates. He will give to you freely without anything from you. Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. It's the dark nature of pride to think that we've got to show up before God with something in our hands, something to prove how good we are, how virtuous we are. And that, my brothers and sisters, is why it is so damning. It completely denies the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pride wants to be beautiful before God from its own resources. And thus the prideful have forgotten the words of the sacred scripture, that the sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. You see, they've heard the word of the Lord over and over and over again concerning this, but they have not believed it. They have not internalized it and taken it into themselves. It is a sad state to be in. It is a hard state. It is the spirit of Antichrist, right, that we were looking about in Sunday school this morning. To know the word of our God and to reject it, to think that we know better than God. Right? The Pharisee did not realize that the only reason that we are beautiful is because God looks on us. No other reason. That's the only reason that we're good and beautiful. His desire for us is what makes us beautiful. He wants to come to us and make his dwelling among and in us. But God will not give himself to us unless our hands are empty to receive him, because he will not be manipulated. Right, a broken and contrite heart, as it were. Or as the hymn that we heard this morning for our prelude would have it. Hear our penitential cry. Hear our penitential cry. And so, the deepest reason why so few give all of themselves to the Father is a heart issue. It is not a head issue. It is a heart issue. We won't let God's love resound in our own lives. Right? We allow too many competitors to vie for our affection, too many distractions in our life to take us away from the object of our true love. To let His love take hold of us means an utter defenseless surrender to all that God is. It means a glad acceptance of our nothingness and His everything. His totality is to realize that He is all things and we are nothing. If we realize this, brothers and sisters, with both the head and the heart, we will never be separated from God. Never. And how does Jesus put it? We will go down to our home justified. We shall be lost in love forever. For creatures of the Father to find themselves lost in just this way is the epitome of joy. Because it's only in the immensity of this love that the last shred of self-importance that we harbor is discarded. Joyfully discarded, by the way. Right? Joyfully discarded because we don't want it anymore, living in the love of God. And the heavy iron curtain that separates the human from seeing the divine recedes into the thin veil. Now, don't be fooled. Right? Don't be misled to think that this journey of the head into the heart is something that's easy, something that you can just cruise right into. It is not. It takes time. It takes time because it takes discipline. That's why Jesus called those who followed Him disciples, ones who are disciplined. But this is the journey of every son and every daughter of God. Layer upon layer of fleshly desire must be exposed, crucified, and killed with Christ. It is violent, it is brutal, and it is painful. It is this process of dying and rising with Christ every single day that you live. But this is why Luther was so adamant about a daily return to baptism through repentance. Not a monthly return, not a yearly return, not a weekly return. A what return? A daily return to the waters of baptism through repentance, through a penitent heart, asking God every day to be merciful to me, a sinner. Our prayers will rise before the Father in the same way as the Pharisees, unless they are accompanied by a broken and contrite heart. And so what we must do by God at some point in our lives is we must consent to give up our own pitiful lives piece by piece by piece. And this is so hard because this is what pride finds so unendurable, to empty our hands before the Lord. Pride doesn't want to give up what little it has. And it can be the richest man in the world, and it still has little before the Lord. Pride would sink down to hell, grasping the dirt and ash of its crumbled possessions. Because one of pride's characteristics is that it can't let go of anything. It can't let go of stuff, of mammon. It can't let go of hate, and it can't let go of unforgiveness. We have all seen and felt that in ourselves. We must surrender ourselves and cling only to Jesus through faith. We must surrender all of ourselves into his loving, merciful, and nail-pierced for us hands. But what does the Lord say? How does the Lord put it in the text for today? He says, you must become as little children. You must, right? Therefore, because the Lord says that, it's not an option, right? It's not an option that we can either do or not do and still remain in the Holy Church. You must become as little children whose one virtue is that they know that they are small. They know that they stand in need of God for all things. That they can stand behind their Father for his protection. They realize that they need to be taken care of and that they can't do it themselves. We can't go on expecting to be Christians while living lives that deny that we are small and that we are in need, that we are poor sinners who would rather come to God on our own terms and conditions, heads lifted up and hands full, saying, God, I thank you that I am not like that person over there. Because in so doing, we not only deny who it is that we are, we deny the one who was crucified to save us from such a miserable estate. And so, my brothers and sisters, I'll land this plane. I've been going on for a while now. Use your head to see with the same mind as that of the tax collector. A mind that is able to perceive how we always stand in perpetual need before the Lord. Do this so that our hearts can cry out to him with all tax collectors, with all sinners, and with all those who stand in need of mercy. That we can cry out to him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let these words be in your minds, in your hearts, and on your lips. In the name of Jesus. Amen.